and welcome to another edition of Crispy Critics. Today we talk to Sophia Aris of Girl Party, who will be at KVSC's Move to the Groove Boogie Down.
Think of life without music?
Raise my belly with it. She got some jelly with it. Green face tryna own the place till I'm cussing outside tryna draw that trait.
Chartreuse, chartreuse,
I'll burn down that dope to the hot to the ghost. See what you earn. And you wanna test me? Cause you know who the best be. CC to the newbies, gay different knees. I can only be mad if they watch me to see. Count up your pennies and wishing to see. The faces will die in the heat when it creeps. Ooh, you're looking sticky with that residue. Clean up, ooh. Only time will tell if you can make it through. Here's a clue, TikTok and it don't stop. Be the doc on the block, driving in the flames for the year on lock 2014. We be on top, oh, we own it. Beyonce be condoning, wishing she was Kelly Rowland in our crew. Ooh, it must be girl time, and we are time. When you hit prime, we in line. Right to put on up in the match, or don't get hit.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Crispy Critics. Today we talk to Sophia Aris, one of the members of Girl Party, who will be at KVSC's Move to the Groove Boogie Down on Thursday, April 10th at the red carpet. Well, first, I already asked you, but how are you doing?
I'm great. It's been a good day. Just resting up for my show tonight. So, I'm doing great.
I hear that you're kind of the fashionista of Girl Party slash...
Oh, really? That's right. I think everyone has their own, like, cool style, and I like being in Girl Party. I think everyone pulls off the swag pretty well, so it's fun.
Now, how many members would you officially say are in Girl Party?
You know, that's a good question. We talked about it. As of now, you know, there's five of us. Mm-hmm. However, we don't want it to be like a girl group and like it's five people and it's a girl group, you know, because we are a collective. And so we, like Caroline Smith, we want to be in Girl Party, you know, and Hannah Vanderhoff wants to be in Girl Party. Like there's women that we work with as well we look at them as they could be in Girl Party. So we try to like, we kind of see a big picture of like Girl Party being this like entity and women from all different like ranges of music and talents and skills and like all be a part of the team and like a little army. But you know, but that's like the big picture. But you know, right now there's five, but it'll be tight to see what the future holds.
Yeah, it can always get bigger.
Exactly.
Well, and that kind of makes sense because you guys had a 4 or 5 month residency at the Ice House doing a bunch of shows with different artists who are women that are here in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. or Minnesota, I should say, not just Minneapolis.
Yeah. We were very grateful for that opportunity to have a residency like that because we were able to kind of like make our statement known in a way that we were controlled. Like we had a controlled environment where we could make our statement known in a way that we could share the stage with like everybody that we wanted to. Of the women that we all respected in the city. So it was really cool to be able to use women like that. But hopefully, I think we would like to do residencies like in LA and in New York. They have like big picture plans, but that was awesome.
Oh, is that in the work right now then? You guys are possibly planning on doing something like that in LA or New York?
Yeah, we would like to. Like, nothing's in that. Right now, we're focused on creating our album because we made the Bank State to put out.
Yep.
But we're still in the middle of working on our actual full length album, so that's our main priority right now.
That makes sense.
And so after all those things are done, then we can start making moves on another scale like that. But
nice.
Start with the basics too, for sure.
Well, Well, I'm going to move away from Girl Party for a little bit, but I want to kind of start at the beginning because, you know, I know a little bit about you. So, but like, how did you get into hip hop in general? Like, how did it happen?
Okay, actually, I remember the day. It was actually a boy. He was a guy I had a crush on. He lived down the street from me. His name was Nick. And we dated for like 2 weeks. When I was like 15, he was like my first real like puppy love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he was super into hip-hop and he was a rapper. And it was like back when like Nas and Jay-Z had beef. And I remember he was a huge Jay-Z fan. And like I chose Nas just to kind of be like opposite of him and so I could be able to argue and, you know, kind of like just be able to debate with him about things. And he was the one that really, like, it was just that and the friends that I had at the time, like, I really started delving into, like, hip-hop in a lyrical way. I always enjoyed hip-hop my whole life, but I was really into R&B and, like, pop, you know? But I really fell into, like, the hip-hop realm of really, like, studying and, like, researching when I was 14. And then I, like, understood what wordplay was. I understood what good lyrical content was. I understood just basics like that. And then it definitely started evolving as far as like me becoming a rapper. Well, I became a rapper. I think I wrote my first rap when I was in high school because of another boyfriend. These are all like weird. These are all, like, related.
They all have to do with boys.
You know, but it's all because I don't know. It's something that it's interesting that is why. But but my boyfriend, my first boyfriend in high school, he would freestyle in the car with his buddies. And, like, I would always want to join along. So, like, I went home and I, like, wrote a rap. So, like, I could go in the car and I'll be able to, like, just spit anything, like, off the bat. And I just wanted to feel like I could hang, you know, because I could. So men were definitely, like, the trigger in both aspects of, like, hip-hop. But I'm glad because it just made me, like, respect it. And the whole respect and love just grew from there.
For sure.
But something had to, like, it was honestly a competitive nature that made me get into hip-hop.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Like, I could do that, too, and I know what that is. Like, no, your rapper's not that tight. My rapper's tight. It was, like, that kind of thing.
No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But now there's a rumor that you would sit on the floor while recording. Is that true? Still true?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, when I first started... Wow, it's weird. Yeah, when I first started recording, it was 8 or 9. It was like 2008 is when I like first really recorded. And as it was, I was dating a guy at the time, and it was my producer as well. So he had like all the recording stuff hooked up in his apartment, and we would just like sit on the floor and like he would make a beat. He had his whole TV set up like a computer, you know, so we would sit on the carpet and he would like make a beat on the big TV and I would have a little mic and I would just like, you know, hum along melodies and whatever. We would just create together, but yeah, we would just sit on the floor. That's right.
So it's a true rumor.
and of course, like, you know, like I gradually grew to standing up, but I did like just probably break the cherry on the floor. Just singing melodies on the mic on the floor. But,
nice. Yeah. Okay, so now where did the name Sophia Aris come from? Because, well, your real first name is Lauren. So is this like a personality that kind of came up from somewhere, or you just thought you liked the name? Or?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Lauren... I went to school for music business, and so, like, my main goal moving to Minneapolis was, like, to be more in the business realm, and I was definitely making my moves on that end, and I was doing, like, video and graphic design and all these, like, promotional things and stuff like that on the side, and I was going by Lauren Alford, and so, like, when I decided to really begin with music, I didn't want to be Lauren Alford in that realm. I wanted to be something else. And also because there's a Lauren Hill that exists in my whole life. It's like, oh, Lauren Hill. Like, in school, people just call me that because my name is Lauren. It was just annoying. But, I mean, it was cool. I love Lauren Hill, but it was like, my name's not Lauren Hill.
Yeah.
So I kind of already, like, foresaw that realm kind of being twisted, like, Lauren Hill or Lauren Alford. I didn't want to be in the same realm because she's singing rap, too. So I wanted to pick a whole other alias, and Sophia Aris. At the time, I love mythology. I'm a huge fan of mythology. And Sophia is the goddess of wisdom, and Eris is the goddess of strife. And put together, I think that they balance each other out, and you can't really, you know, have one without the other. And I wanted my music to represent, like, a touch of, like, wisdom, and also, like, a touch of, like, grittiness and, like, understanding of how one got wise, you know? So.
Well,
Sophia Eris.
That's kind of a perfect name, yeah. I'm not going to lie.
It works.
No, it works.
Like it.
I never thought about that, but I guess I never would have thought mythology. But yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get into something called the Chalice.
Oh, yeah.
So
Chalice.
So what is happening with that project right now? Because, you know, you kind of, I feel like maybe you kind of got in the limelight a little bit with the Chalice. And then you kind of moved away and did Girl Party. So what is that project still happening, or is that kind of just kind of disbanded at this point?
You know, I think it's, I would say it's like hiatus. I think the Chalice, we are all grateful to have been in the Chalice because of the opportunities that we received from the Chalice. I think that it was something that moved really quickly, and it kind of just turns this like snowball of opportunities, and it made us like work hard. It made us hit deadlines. It made us be like, yes, we'll do that. And it was just, we were just a snowball of opportunity in that group, and it was great. But also we still wanted to do other things. Like Lizzo wanted to put out her solo record. We both wanted to work with La Manchita before she moved to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So when she moved back, she was actually supposed to be like a part of the Chalice. But she left for Chicago, so she kind of missed the whole wave of when everything started happening. But I think I like that it worked out like that, because I think that Claire de Lune is extremely talented, and it was awesome. It's awesome, like, to work with her. But that's, like, one sound, you know? Like,
yeah.
Chalice is a specific type of sound. And I think with Cheetah and Girl Party, it's like, I feel like an athlete. It's like going from, you know, balancing people and like singing and learning how to rap better and sing better on run group, and like kind of becoming a union, and like kind of a girl group almost, you know, like to rapping and like showing off like athletic ability with rap, and like, you know, it's just a different feeling in the Girl Party, and it's more like of a raw expression too. So I know I'm grateful for both, and so like I guess we just. We had the State Fair coming up, and it was, like, the last show we had booked for a while, and it just seemed like a good time to just kind of be like, all right, like, we did good this year. We, like, ended up at the State Fair. I think we're all right, you know?
Yeah.
And we just decided to kind of, like, zone off in the projects that we wanted to go on. And we just basically we looked at the Chalice as a good platform to jump off of, you know? And it did become one. So, but it's not over. I wouldn't say it was over. I would say it's just, like, kind of on hiatus, and everyone's kind of like doing their own thing, and I just personally want just to keep growing, because I was the baby of the group, so I was just super down to be involved with any type of like collaborative efforts of people that I truly cared about and respected, and I can grow from. I was super down to make music with them, so that's kind of where how I see it. It's like you can't just like you're allowed to make music with anybody you want to make music with, you know, and the city is full of talented people, so that was like the main point. Like we were just. Chalice, we were just chilling at, we were at a party one day and made a song and they put it on SoundCloud and it popped. So like, I mean, all of a sudden it turned into this thing and that was awesome. But I think that it's all about just making music and growing as people and just having fun while you do it. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I still listen to that EP all the time. It's such a great EP.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. That's all I can say. It was just like time to focus on other things that we've been wanting to focus on too.
Well, not to mention you've just been crazy busy, which we'll get to. We still have more.
Yeah.
but speaking, because I mean, you're in the Chalice and you kind of are doing your own thing, but then you're also now in Girl Party. Speaking of like hip hop in Minneapolis, or just, you know, the world, because you've been kind of touring all over the place. But do you think that women MCs are overshadowed as like a gimmick, or do you think they get the same respect as like male hip hop artists?
I feel like we're in the middle of like a new era. To be honest, I feel like women have always, you know, in a way, been like, you know, overshadowed by men. in a lot of ways, not just hip hop, like mm-hmm. by a lot of ways. And but I do think there's always been women in hip hop that like hold their ground extremely well. And like you kind of see like Lauryn Hill, for example, she popped off in the Fugees where she was the only woman. Like you see Lil' Kim where she was, you know, in the whole Biggie Diddy clique. You see like Rod Digga who was in Flip Mode. Like they all have like their key woman.
Yeah.
And that was like the woman that was like, I'm the queen. Like the woman always thought they had to be like, I'm the queen. and now, you know, now I feel like it's not. I personally feel like I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I'm not trying to be like the top of whatever. I'm just trying to like be me.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women out there now are like, I see like Angel Hayes, and I see even like, I know Snow the Product writes a lot for like Nicki Minaj, like, and I know she's being a sound start this year, but there's just a lot of women that are popping off in their own way, and it's tight. Like they're sexy, but they're still like really spitting though too, and I'm not mad at them, like, you know. And and so I don't know, I feel like it's gonna be a good like next decade for women. I don't know, I'm just excited. I hope Girl Party, I see good things for Girl Party specifically when it comes to that question. I hope that we get to a level where our position will be forcibly felt, and it'll change a whole wave of how, you know, people look at women in hip-hop, you know. I'm sorry. So the question was, how do I feel? I feel like new wave is happening. I feel like there's a change that's going to happen in the next couple of years when it comes to women. And like people like Missy Elliott was killing it for a long time. There's been women out here.
Yeah.
It's just been like not a lot of them. You know, like there's just so many men. But the women that are killing it are killing it, you know. But I think that more women are about to step up to the forefront, and it's going to be tight.
Good. I'm excited.
You know?
So now, Girl Party, you guys just released a mixtape, and you were using the music from Tonight, which is kind of a group made up of Hudson Mohawk and Lunas. Now, what made you decide to use their music for your mixtape, or how did you come about it?
Well, when Girl Party first started, we were just like writing. We were just trying to write to any beats that, you know, we liked. They were just bangers. We were super into just bangers, like things that made us dance, things that thumped. And so when we first started, obviously we were doing the residency.
Mm-hmm.
And Lizzo had brought up the Tonight EP. And we had heard it at like a party a couple summers ago. And Lizzo was like, I wrote a verse over this beat, and it was bugging. And like me and Cheetah heard it, we're like, dang, let's write this one. This is tight. And we thought it would be tight to do live. And they were like, wait a second, there's 5 tracks. We can each get our own, and we can do 2 group songs, and it'll be like a really dope mixtape, because we just thought those beats are so good, and they were so perfect for the realm that we wanted to go for. Like, we were just trying to rap over like bangers, and so we're like, yeah, let's show we can like rap over bangers and like rap over these hard beats, and so it was just kind of like a filler, like something that helped us with residencies, and also this helps us like with our statement of like, hey, we're a Girl Party, we can rap over bangers. and so we like work a lot with Red Velvet. They did Wegula and Nightwatch. They're a duo from Chicago.
Nice.
And so they understand the sound, and they've been sending us very good beats, and I'm just excited. It's basically just like a statement of all producers that ever wanted to work with us. This is the par, like this is the level that we would like to be on.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything from their camp at all about it? I know it just recently came out, but...
Yeah, and that's, honestly, strategically, that's another reason why we did it, was because our management, our publishing is also the publishers of them.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it was a direct connect, so we knew if we did a good job, hopefully they would get to hear it.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard anything from them, though. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day we'll get hollered at. But that was a definitely strategic move as well.
They better. Now, one of the songs off the mixtape, which is featuring you, called Higher Ground, which is, I mean, such a great, great song both ways. But
thank you.
You talk about your family a lot. Now, how have they really influenced you on writing your music?
Mm-hmm. Well, at that time, my grandma had just passed away. And so I was really like, just reflecting, and like I was really emotional at that time, and I just wanted to do a piece of work that represented my family in some way. And I'm a military baby. My mom and dad are both military. So when I was listening to the song, I like went through and I like went back and I studied, I like went through and listened to military chants. Like, I think they did it in a training. Mm-hmm. And like one of them was like, my grandmama, she was 76. And they're like, my grandmama, she was 76. Blah, 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 blah. Like, they would run and chant these things. And one of those chants, I was like, yep, that works. And so I took it and then just told the story. I kind of went with that subject matter and went through, like, my grandma, my mom, and my grandpa, and my two dads. And then I went down to a friend level because I do believe your friends are family. I believe, like, yeah, friends are your chosen family. And they, it's huge. Like, that's being away from my family, I'm away from them. I'm in Minneapolis, and everyone's in Ohio or in Iowa. So, like, all I have as for family is my friends here. And so I definitely learned that lesson, like, your friends are your family. And yeah, I feel like your friends should be your family and your family should be your friends. Like,
completely.
You have a tight circle around you.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, like, where I was at the time when I wrote that song. So the whole military thing is kind of an ode to my family, and everything else is just telling the story of, you know, how they influenced me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember right, when you guys released Wegula, Girl Party, you guys were under a different name called Absinthe.
Yeah, I remember these things. Yeah, that was Lizzo and I. That was during the Chalice, when we were in the middle of the Chalice, and that was when Lizzo, it was like, I just know when Watch the Throne came out, Lizzo was living with me, and we were like, we gotta do a Watch the Throne album. Like, we had been talking about it. And at the time, I was going in to a studio to actually try to start working on my solo record. And Lizzo came in with me, and we just, like, thought of two songs off the bat. And we're like, oh, this is tight. Like, let's just actually do a project. And let's do Watch the Throne. Let's do it. We called it Absinthe. So Cheetah, at the time, like, we wanted Cheetah to be on it with us. And so we made Wegula with her. And that's why she's like, I got the Absinthe in my Cheetah, about to Wegulate this fool, in her verse. But when we decided, like, basically Cheetah was working with, like, she did that song, and it was awesome. And then we started working on another song, and she was like, you guys, like, what's going on? Like, and we just doing features? Are we just finally going to, like, do this and, like, you know, be a group?
Yeah.
It's something we all wanted. We're like, yeah, we went saying to each other across the room, like, we want to date each other, but are we allowed to? We're like, yeah, we're allowed to, you know? Like, so, yeah, we just, it was actually our management that we were just going to go as Absinthe, and she did like the name Absinthe, but our manager wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, try something else. Like, keep digging. And actually Lizzo and Sean Anonymous, Sean was with Lizzo. Like, she was going out with us one night, and Sean's like, are you guys going to have a girl party? And she's like, yeah. So it was like this, like, joke, like, girl party, huh? And Lizzo was like, we should have, like, a residency. Like, we should do girl parties. And I was like, yeah, that's right. And so when we were trying to find a new name, Lizzo was like, let's do girl parties. Like, but, and we're like, let's not do vowels though. And we wanted to do the 3R thing because we're like, girl party. Mm-hmm. And then we got, you know, reminded about the Riot Girl movement. We got educated on it immediately as soon as we found out, like, Riot Girl was a movement, a feminist movement back in the late 80s. And it was awesome. I watched, it was like an awesome documentary. Kathleen Hanna was, but I'm really glad. It was just a really good, like, coinky dink. And I was like, yeah, I would love to. Like, we're like the new wave of, you know, feminists, but in the hip-hop realm, not the punk realm. And we thought it was a good fit. So, yeah, like, Girl Party happened as a, it was a joke at first. And then we're like, actually, this could work.
And it has. Yeah. I mean, you have it on a hat now, so it works.
I know, it's great. I love those. We're getting more. Like, we just, like, we're definitely getting more. We found, like, new designs that we want to rock with, and it's going to be exciting. Like, I'm excited to really pop off the brand Girl, you know, and have dope merch with it, because it's becoming, like, its own brand, and it's tight. So I'm excited to do that. For sure.
Well, makes sense. But let's get to a fun question. So, yeah, in a video, you were kissing Astronautilus, if I'm...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
What was that like?
It was cool. It was good. I mean, it was fun. I just remember, like, everyone was just, like, in a good spirit that night, and it was, like, she was, Lizzo was kind of, like, the curator of, like, the whole kissing thing. Like, she was, like, okay, Lauren, you kiss Andy, and, like, you know, Caroline, you kiss Cliff, and she's just kind of like pointing people out and like having them kiss, and it was nice. It was fine, but it got weird because like while we were kissing, like my roommate, I live with a couple named Mark and Mari, and they were in the video. They were the ones that were like, she had like pink hair, and she was like holding the bottle, and they're a cute couple. But he's like, her boyfriend's like a brother, and he was like just saying inappropriate things while I was kissing Andy, and it was like awkward. And I was like, why are you doing this? Like, why? Shut up. It was like a little brother that was like teasing, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of awkward, but it wasn't awkward in the beginning. It was only awkward when he like chose to speak.
Nice.
But it was all good. It was really like pro. Andy's super nice. He's very much of a gentleman. So it was nice.
Beautiful.
It was cool.
Well, I have a few more questions for you. And
yeah.
So what is up next for yourself? Can we expect a solo record from you anytime soon?
Yes, I'm actually working on it right now. I'm working, I got an opportunity from touring with Lizzo in the UK from a label out there. They're a startup label. They're rather small, but they're called Janus Records, and they wanted to fund my release in the UK, in the EU to be exact. And so right now I'm just in the middle of work. I was in the studio as much as I can, and I've just been creating and creating and creating. And so when I go back in May, I'm going to have a meeting with them, and they're going to choose what song they would like to do a video for. And so when I go back in June with Lizzo, I'm going to shoot a video out there. And so basically my first release will be in the UK. And after that, I'm going to, depending on how it does out there, I'm going to release it here. and until that time comes, though, I'm working on a project as well with Jeremy Nutzman and Ryan Olson called Chill Murray. And we started that like a while ago. We like made our first little demo like about a year and a half ago. And we've just been all like Pony Boy happened, Girl Party happened. Like there's just been so many projects that have been happening for Jeremy and I. And we finally got to a place we reconnected and were able to dive back in. That's actually where I was last night, in the studio making our new song. But that's awesome. I'm really excited about that project. It's going to be like a mini one coming out in the summertime. And it's really, it's fly. It's just Jeremy and I kind of like going back and forth, and it's very 90s. But we like it a lot. It's fun.
Good. And then,
That's pretty much what I'm doing this week. Yeah.
And then, of course, you guys are working on the brand new, hopefully, full-length Girl Party album.
Yes. Yeah. And it's exciting. We're like, we're pretty deep into it. We're just kind of like as much free time as we have, we go back in and like record. And the residency definitely trained us to know our material, and it made us, forced us to make new material. So we're pretty like good on the content aspect. We're still writing more, of course. I would expect. I mean, I don't want to say that I learned a lesson a long time ago not to say when things are coming out before they're done.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, like late this year.
Nice.
Early next year, there'll definitely be a product. So
good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully a few singles along the way, maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's our plan. We plan on dropping some videos and like keeping it current.
Good. Because we want to keep on hearing stuff from you guys.
Yeah. I'm excited too.
Well, I'm excited for you guys to come up here to St. Cloud to just go crazy. Yeah. And show St. Cloud.
I'm realizing that's going to happen. It's going to be a really fun show. Like, Lydia is awesome from Bomba de Luz.
Yeah.
I love her. She's like a little like sister. She's tight. And Harmar is always like a hoot. I love that guy. So it's going to be a very fun show.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Steven.
It was.
Thank you.
KVC's Move to the Groove Boogie Down is on Thursday, April 10th. Yes, that is next week at the Red Carpet. It's featuring Harmar Superstar, Girl Party, and Bomba de Luz. Tickets are on sale both online and at the Electric Fetus in downtown St. Cloud. It's a 21-plus show, and it's at 9 p.m., and I will see you guys there. Have a good night.
20,000 feet up, breaking all the lights on the doors, and I ain't seen no ceiling. We came in through the top floor. Three R's rip right round your jugular. Three R's rip right round your jugular. Three R's rip right round your jugular.
Three R's rip right round your jugular.
One and two.
to New York to Paris. Got a brown girl chilling with her best friends, cutting all their ends, still going nice and healthy. Strength be the new wealthy. Sophia Mayweather, so clever and well put together. Gap in her teeth, but I be like rich. Smacking them gums so the respect comes. We battling drums, ready for the come up. Harvesting greens, I be ready for the summer. Grammy and alive, and I really miss a supper. But I pray to the God that you let me keep my mother. Toast to the brothers, hope we doing well. QJ, Mikey, big sis, about to kill. I'll get you backstage with your own bass. Rub your feet, girl, party, we know how to treat. I got you.
20,000 feet up, breaking all the locks off the doors. And I ain't seen no ceilings. We came in through the top floor.
Here we come with our bad man, straight out the Sour Patch. Everybody with a hashtag wanna ride in the back of this hatchback. Oh, you thought I didn't catch that? You must be blasting, man. Can't get much past me, man. You got the mic, just pass me that. Everybody wanna hear us say, everybody wanna get some. Nobody wanna pass the torch, everybody wanna stay young. Go count your hookups, cause life is tough. Some we got 99 problems, but it ain't one. Can't touch this.